Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. So here are the expectations they have on C.J. Stroud, 2023 projection. They have 3,300 yards. That seems kind of high to me. Where does 3,300 yards put you in 2022? We'll look at that in a second. They have him at 17 touchdowns, which I think that's fair. That's one touchdown a game.
I think it's fine.
I think it's fair expectation, and they have him for 14 interceptions, which I think is fine for a rookie. Like, I don't think that's
terrible. Isn't that kind of where we settled in?
I think we were talking about the over-under for touchdowns was like 2,200. So, like, this is pretty far under 2,200.
Touchdowns, 2,200. You mean yards?
Oh, I'm at 22 touchdowns.
Yeah.
My
bad. Oh, 20. Okay.
Yeah, we were talking about the over-under at 22
but
touchdowns.
Joe, as a show, 17. When we averaged it all out, didn't we kind of settled right in around 13 or 14 for him?
I don't remember what we did.
You're talking about picks.
Yeah,
picks. I don't know if we did
that. Yeah.
I think touchdowns, we were right around 20. I think we were right around 13 or 14.
I think that sounds right.
Yeah, I think that's right. 3,300 yards seems high to me for a rookie quarterback. Like, I don't see them throwing the ball that much next year, especially if they're in games. Like, if they're, they're in games, I don't think they're throwing the ball a ton.
I don't think they're Bill O'Brien, but I think they're still going to border on the conservative side, especially, like you said, if they're in a ball game, they're not going to put him in a situation to possibly throw you out of it. Like, I think they're going to take the sure things. Like, you know, if there's, in his progressions, if there's, you know, a read or a receiver that's got a big pad, you're going to take that. But I don't think they're going to have him throwing the ball downfield, throwing it up for grabs, throwing it into double coverage type things.
3,348 passing yards last year would have been 15th in the NFL. I don't think C.J. Stroud's going to finish top half of the league in passing
yards. I don't either, because I said I'd take that right now.
Davis Mills last year had 3,100 yards, 17 touchdowns, 15 picks. This is saying 3,300 yards, 17 touchdowns, 14 picks. So they're calling for a very Davis Mills-like year, ESPN's expectations.
But the difference in potential and the difference in overall abilities, I think you take that in year one. We expect. I think it might almost be a win in year one because everything you've read and all the paths that have come before you say that even the best struggle in their first year.
Yeah.
So if you can get that kind of production, I think you take that in year one.
To that point, I did a deep dive on rookie quarterbacks playing their rookie year, and it's the last 20 quarterbacks, and it dates back to 2010. These are first-round quarterbacks. These are quarterbacks, I believe, actually, that were taken in the top five. Yeah. These are quarterbacks that were taken in the top five since 2010. There's been 20 quarterbacks taken in the top five since 2010 that played in their rookie year. Only two of those quarterbacks had 9 wins in their rookie season. Like, you can go through the whole list here. The only
two... How many total?
Of the... There's been 20 quarterbacks in the last 12 years, since 2010. Sam Bradford was as far back as this goes. He was the first pick in 2010. So in the last 12 years, there's been 20 quarterbacks that have been taken in the top five. 20 in the last 12 years that have been taken top five. Only two of those 20 won 9 games or more their rookie year, which is like a winning record. Now, like, Pat Mahomes went 1-0. I included Pat Mahomes on this list because he might be the greatest quarterback ever, and I included Deshaun Watson because he's a Houston Texan. So those are the two exceptions of outside the top five. Mahomes only played 1 game in his rookie year. He went 1-0. So, like, you can almost throw him out because he only played 1 game.
Sure.
Deshaun Watson only started 6 games his rookie year. He got the ACL. He went 3-3 in his rookie season. The two quarterbacks of the last 20 that were taken in the top five that have won 9 games was Robert Griffin. He went 9-6 as a starter in 2012.
Rookie of the year's first year?
I'm not sure that he did because Andrew Luck was that same year and he went 11-5.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're in different conferences.
Remember, he played his tail off with a horrible offensive line and then he took that really, really, really bad sack that kind of changed his career where he was kind of like half sitting and got crushed.
Yeah. Like, but ruined his knee.
Robert Griffin III, to me, was like VY in his first year. Took the NFL by storm, just really, really good, and then kind of from year two on was just a disaster.
He was the rookie of the year in 2012. RG3 was. But you look at some of the other quarterbacks on this list. Like, I'll go most recent because I don't know if we want to sit here and talk a whole lot about Sam Bradford. No. Sam Bradford was 7-9.
He cashed in a whole lot of money. He was one of the last ones to do that.
Yeah, he was. Cam Newton, first pick 2011, was 6-10. Trey Lance, rookie year, third pick. He only played in two games. He went 1-1. Zach Wilson, the second pick in 2021. They went 3-10. Trevor Lawrence, first pick, 2021, went 3-14. Tua had a winning record. 2020, fifth round pick, was 6-3. Joe Burrow, people like, obviously, rightfully so, we crown Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is a rookie starter after being the first pick in 2020, was 2-7-1.
Then he got hurt.
And then he got hurt. But he started the first 10 games and won 10 of them. He won two of them.
Yeah.
He was 2-7-1. Kyler Murray, first pick in 2019, 5-10-1. Sam Darnold, third pick in 18, 4-9. Baker Mayfield, first pick in 18, 6-7. Mitch Trubisky was 4-8. Carson Wentz, 7-9. Jared Goff was 0-7, then went to a Super Bowl later. Marcus Mariota, 3-9. Jameis Winston, 6-10. Blake Bortles, 3-10. Cam Newton, 6-10. Sam Bradford, 7-9. All of these quarterbacks that are taken in the top five, almost every single one of them has a losing record. So, like, whenever we talk about expectations on this team, and I'm talking to the Homer hat Jeremy Branham from a couple weeks ago, which the digital team thought I was being serious, rookie quarterbacks have trouble winning in the NFL in their rookie year. Like, even the very best ones, even the ones that turn out to be, like, MVP caliber, even the, like, Joe Burrow won two of his 10 games. We're looking at Trevor Lawrence right now going into his third year as being, like, a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Cam Newton, who was an MVP, went 6-10. Rookie quarterbacks struggle to win football games in their rookie year in the NFL, and I think that's why we need to two things. One, kind of like temper our expectations of what to expect from the Texans in year one, and then secondly, if we want to have the Nick Caserio conversation, like, you should know rookie quarterbacks struggle to win football games in the NFL and maybe not give away your first-round pick in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's not open up that can again because we've already gone fishing on that one several times already and know that we both feel the same way. I think that I go back and I just look at the Peyton Mannings and the Troy Aikmans and all the guys that turned out to be Hall of Fame quarterbacks that in their first year – there was just so much to learn. Learn about yourself. Learn about the league. Learn about offenses. Learn about defenses. Learn about the speed and all the talent that's coming at you on every play. And it's so difficult, even for the best, to be able to kind of take that all in a nutshell, digest it all, and then be able to perform at a certain level. I mean, I think the real anomaly is like a Dan Marino. So in his first year, he goes to a Super Bowl, and then he never gets to another Super Bowl again. But for every success story, there's so many failures of struggle. It doesn't mean their whole career is going to be a failure, but it means that they're going to have to figure it out on the fly, and that becomes extremely difficult.
Yeah, you can't count on winning with rookie quarterbacks. So, like, to me, like, last year we told fans that they needed to embrace the suck. Half the people are like, yeah, we do. We need to embrace the suck, and we understand why. The other half are like, we don't want to do that. We want to win football games. Like, okay, well, you can go live in that dreamland 3-7 and dream about winning football games some way, somehow. You next year, like, as a Texan fan, and look, part of this is going to be a struggle because you don't own your first-round pick next year. So, like, that is the reality of the situation. Your expectations for the 2023 Houston Texans needs to be showing progress, showing hope, showing potential that you can someday be a playoff team. Like, if you're expecting the Texans to go 9-8 next year, you're living in la-la land, quite frankly. Rookie quarterbacks don't win in the NFL. The Houston Texans last year had the worst roster in the NFL. And look, we're all about, like, embrace the process. We embrace the suck because we want to trust the process, all of that. But the expectations need to be tempered on what to expect with a rookie quarterback in the NFL. You need to be viewing this team coming up this season not with, oh, can we sneak in the playoffs? Can we win a bad division? No. You need to be looking at the team next year and watching the team next year with the idea of the expectations being, this is the start of something that could eventually be special.
This is the first chapter of what you hope is a novel full of lots of successful chapters and lots of winning and lots of different things as you build a resume for a kid that you're putting all your eggs in his basket, all right? And so it's not how it starts, it's how it finishes, unless he gets hurt, and you don't want that, right? But you know he's going to take some lumps. You know he's not going to give you the same kind of season that you're hopefully going to get in year three and year five and down the road. You just have to understand that the whole track record of quarterbacks in their first year is not filled with success stories – and runaway trains that go in the right direction. So as much as you think they've turned the corner roster-wise, talent-wise, and the fact that they're telling you now that they're trying to win more games, it's easier said than done because of who's at the helm.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, 2920 texting in. Another exception that people may think of is Mahomes. Pat Mahomes didn't play his rookie year. Pat Mahomes started one game his rookie season. I think it was the final week of the year because they were resting Alex Smith for the playoffs. He won that one game, but he didn't play. He redshirted his rookie season because they had Alex Smith and they were a good football team. Situation matters. And Andy Reid. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line for Gary. Gary, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Gary?
Yes, I had to suffer through that 1-15 with the Troy Aikman years and stuff like that. It was grueling, but you could see that they were building.
Yep.
And also, just like with any occupation, most occupations, and not any most, you typically get better with time. Maybe not with quarterbacks, but and also the next year's draft. We keep talking about that number one. There is absolutely no guarantee on the planet that what you could have the number one pick of next year, number one. And it turns out. So, again, they put all their chips in this year. They've done their research for next year and know what players are there. So
Gary, Gary, fasten your seatbelt right now. Do not drive unsafely.
By not having a first-round draft pick. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I just cranked up my car. By not having next year's first number one, that is no guarantee. They put all their chips in this year.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And so next year is not promised.
Appreciate the call, Gary. Yeah, I mean, every day is a good day because I wake up, to borrow a quote from Dusty Baker. But you can sit there and say that the 2024 draft is no guarantee. You're 100% right. But there is no guarantee that C.J. Stroud or Will Anderson are going to be good football players. Like, it's the same thing. You can't say one thing about the other and then not the other thing about the other. Like, both things are not guaranteed in life. Yes, you do have, like, you're going to have C.J. Stroud under contract. You're going to have Will Anderson under contract. So, like, those things are fixed. Those are tangible. Those are guarantees. But there are no guarantees that they're going to help you in this rebuild. Like, we all want that to happen. We all think that's going to happen. But he brought the Cowboys, going 0-11 with Troy Aikman and sitting through that. Like, I don't think the Texans are going to go winless.
No.
But you need, like, you still have to buckle up. Like, the Houston Texans are still, like, you can almost make the case that next year is the first year of the rebuild, and the last 2 years mm-hmm. for Casario have been the teardown reset.
But, Jeremy, that's why we're so concerned about that pick.
Yeah.
Because they're not there yet. Because even if they are focused on winning, because of who you're trying to win with this year, the odds say, you just play the odds. Just like you're in Vegas or anything else, if you're just playing the odds tell you that it's not in your favor that you're going to have a winning season this year or that you're going to win more games than the Browns or you're going to do other things. So that's why we were so concerned about that pick, because you're not there yet. You're on the track to getting there, but because even if you have the right guys and you drafted the right guys, the fact is that especially that one guy playing the most important position in professional sports, you got to be able to understand that it's not going to all fall into place in year one.
713-780-ESPN. I was curious, too, to like, I don't know Dallas Cowboy history as well as I know Houston football history. I was assuming that the Cowboys like were really bad in 89, and they were, and that they would have one of the top picks in 1990. It would be a cornerstone to what turned into like, you know, a dynasty in the NFL. The Cowboys forfeited their first pick that year because they drafted Steve Walsh in the first round of the supplemental draft the previous year. Like, I never knew that. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have their first pick either. So maybe the Houston Texans are following the path of the early 90s. Dallas Cowboys. That's
Jeremy,
interesting, though.
But the theme of the conversation has been different eras with different results.
I know. I was teasing. I know. But isn't that funny? Like, they didn't even have their. I never knew that. I didn't know that they forfeited their first pick that year, which would have been the first pick, which was Jeff George that year. Now, they did draft Emmitt Smith later in the first round that season, so it wasn't all that bad. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. All right, we think Altuve will be back in the lineup tomorrow. Where does he hit? What do you do with Dubon? And also, it was interesting looking at the lineup of the hooks, where Altuve was leading off, Drew Gilbert was batting second. When is the next time those two are in the same lineup together? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking,
Unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The Hooks have the lead. And the 1-2. Swing, fly ball to right. Gilbert, a few steps toward the line. Now he comes in a little bit. Drew makes the grab. Tagging from second is Ramos. The throw, they got it.
Great the call, Blankers. That was Drew Gilbert. Well, that was his arm there? I saw that.
Yeah, he was in right field.
I saw the video of that. First time listening to the audio. It's interesting he's playing right.
He's getting ready to replace Tucker. Come on.
I think he just has position flexibility.
I feel like we just tapped into the electricians union and got a guy that's an electrician by day that was calling a game by night. I mean, here's a line drive to right center field. The outfielder is underneath it, and he catches it.
You saying he's boring?
I'm saying he could be a librarian and tell you where the Dewey Decimal System
is. Did he sound like he's almost dead? Because his name's Michael Coffin.
Ooh. Put another nail in it.
I mean, if the shoe fits.
That's a tough name.
Wow.
Joe, especially to be boring. Like, if you're energetic, you probably would never have that.
Grade the call, Brandon.
Well, Joe was telling us. I will grade the call. Yeah, I'm not ducking the question.
I said I wanted to play it, but I thought it was so bad I wasn't sure if we should.
That was Michael Coffin.
Sorry, Michael.
Corpus
I don't know
Christi
you personally.
Hooks baseball on the radio. He's filled in for Astros games. He's done a few.
He has too.
I
heard the voice.
Yeah, right? I know.
Oh,
no,
Joe
I know.
Probably ran the board.
I definitely
probably
ran
talked
the board.
To Michael Coffin. He's also a Sam
Probably.
Houston. Well, oh no, I saw something in his bio that's not good. He's a Sam Houston State Bearcat. There's nothing wrong with being a Sam Houston Bearcat, but you
no
have to drop
anymore.
The state.
Yeah.
You can no longer say state when you're talking about Sam Houston Athletics.
Craig Ackerman of the five state. Schools that he attended.
Why?
He always eat 'em up cats.
My first semester of college was at Sam.
They right? dropped. They yep. dropped the state.
I came back after a semester because I wasn't doing a whole lot of schooling. Yeah, they dropped the state.
Just drinking.
They dropped the state. A lot of nights at the chicken. No, actually, it wasn't the chicken. It was the Jolly Fox, I think it was called. I think it was the Jolly Fox. It was like three different clubs in one. Like
really?
You had your two-stepping, little country music. You had your, you know, get it down. Then you had your, like, rock, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was weird. There's the Jolly Fox, I believe. There was another place out there. I forget. Shenanigans. There you go. Shenanigans down Hunts Vegas, baby. Yeah, they dropped the state. So grade the call for Michael Coffin, who has filled in for some Astros games and is the Corpus Christi Hooks radio baseball announcer. I mean, it sounded like it was in the 19th inning of a May 17th game and no one cared. Like, Jose Altuve's there. We got some buzz in the ballpark. That was like a 2.
Yeah, I was going to say like a 3.
Top prospect showing off his cannon.
Right.
Like, this is
plus,
what you should be living
plus,
for.
Especially.
I mean, how deep are we grading this call?
I'm being legitimate. I'm
mean,
giving
like,
it a 2.
Formatics?
We
score.
Oh, it's all.
Yeah,
anything's
on the table.
So I'll go like a C minus.
No, we go numbers.
No, we go numbers, Joe.
Oh, I didn't
Joe,
know
welcome
that.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to
yeah,
the
you use letters because of the where you came from in the show.
That, the
he likes
time.
A's.
Yeah,
he likes B's.
Yeah, he likes to get A's.
Maybe
all
you
the time.
Can work with Cody later.
Yeah,
call
Cody, Cody and Carlson.
Yeah,
the C's.
There you go.
Yeah,
we're gonna dump Jake and Brad and be the C's.
I can think of a D word for that show too.
Look, here's the thing. Oh wow, When you look at it from my previous existence, I always say the other thing, like when we were doing anything with my – when I was talking to my announcers, when we got into the whole league pass thing, your calls – this right now, Mr. Coffin should have been thinking about the fact that not only do I have a game where Altuve is going to be playing where my call might be connected to something, but my call might get run across the country, not just maybe in Houston or other places. I need to make sure that everybody hears this because this is like a free resume builder for me. If someone along the way hears that guy and goes, hey, remember we've had gimmicky guys on before in the minors.
We interviewed him.
Yeah, remember we had him on the air. That's what I said because we caught a call. We were like, that's really out there, but it's different. It's creative. You know, kudos for that. This was just
oh, man.
Flat.
Junior Bronco said better than Susan Waldman. There was a Susan Waldman call the other day.
That's the Yankees
that cracked,
lady.
Yeah, Rogers and George's box. She
That's
said
right.
one the other day. She talked about the dude's rear. Oh, you know what? You know it was
the Toronto series.
It was Bader, Harrison Bader.
Oh, Harrison Bader.
Harrison Bader made a diving catch in center field. Good play. I mean, it was a good play. And then he did like a kick up. You know, like whenever you're flat on your back and you like kick up onto your
feet. Oh, you
pop feet.
Pop up.
It's called a kick up. I think a kick up or a kip up. I think it's a kick up.
Okay.
But he did that, and she had no idea what to call it. And she was like, he's doing that little dance and jump where you go from your rear onto your feet. And it's like, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
How did they let? Never mind. I'm going to stop there. Susan Waldman or Jake Asman? 713-780-3776. Well, they're both Yankees.
That's true.
I feel like it's a good conversation to have. 713-780-3776. So I gave it a two. You gave it a two?
You gave it a three.
You gave it a three?
It was clear Joe gave you could understand
seven?
It.
A seven?
A six?
That's high. That's good.
Well, I said C minus, so I'm trying to...
Right.
Man,
Joe. So,
okay, five.
It's because he's worked with him. He's biased towards people
he's
worked with.
Yeah, now he's being careful in case he works with him again.
I won't. Five.
We peer pressured him into making a worse grade. Chris from Sam Houston, he gets a two for the saying the score, signed Milo Hamilton.
That's right, Pally.
We shouldn't make fun of those who are no longer with us.
I will say, we really missed the Masters guy in the minors. Did you see that?
He called the
whole inning like it was the Masters.
Oh, yeah. I did catch that.
You couldn't do that for a whole inning.
Did he say hello, friends?
I don't know.
I don't remember what he said, but I do remember when that guy did that. Yeah. I prefer the, what's his name? The what's going down.
The rapping guy whole rap of the leaderboard.
I think it's Vernon? Chris Vernon, maybe? Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's really funny.
Especially if it's all on the fly.
Yeah. I think he might script a lot of it, but it's pretty freaking good.
It's really good.
What do you, so Gilbert and Altuve were in the same lineup yesterday. Altuve was in the one hole. Gilbert was in the two hole. When would those two be in the same lineup together again?
Next year? Yeah.
Kind of goes back to what we were saying.
I'm just going to stick to what I said all along. Look, I think that we still have to see more of Gilbert, and he has to continue on this fast track and have success wherever they put him. To lead you to believe that he could make it. And I think, look, I think you could see him in September. Let me say September. I'll say September because I think there's a chance just to kind of get seasoning for him, get his feet wet, get him to understand what it's like to be in a playoff race and or, getting ready for the playoffs. Like when Jeter sat on the bench or Pena sat on the bench for the Astros before they actually got a chance to play, just to kind of soak it all in. I think in September they could both be in the same lineup, and then he'll be around the team.
I think it depends on, I don't think they would do that if they don't plan on using him. I don't see a scenario in which
they... to start the clock?
Yeah. They're not going to bring up Drew Gilbert and start the clock until they're ready to play him every day. Even if he's a backup option, I don't see them going that route. So I think a lot of things have to happen for him to actually be called up, quite frankly. I think Michael Brantley would need to stay hurt. I think you might need some production center field, or at least in one of the outfield spots. Honestly, it just might be Brantley. If Brantley's healthy, I don't think Drew Gilbert plays with the Astros this year.
Injuries are going to play the biggest factor. Whether it's someone that hasn't played all year like Brantley or, God help us all, hopefully it doesn't happen. But if someone else gets hurt and you're left with kind of, especially after the trade deadline, and now you're left with very little options and you're like, I need a dude or I need someone that might be able to give me more than Chaz or more than somebody else. That's the only other reason why I'd see him earlier than that.
It would have to be a corner outfielder, I think.
Yeah, I think it could be this year, but it's just based on injury alone. I mean, he's pretty quick. He's got some wheels, it looks like. Could he be just a playoff roster pinch run guy?
I don't think that they would start the clock on that.
But what's the difference if you start the clock September 1st versus opening day next year, 10 days?
Doesn't cost you a year.
No, it doesn't cost you a year after another month.
Well, it depends on the Super 2. It's the top 18% of players get arbitration a year sooner.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty complicated.
They put new rules in. That's right.
Yeah, so it's kind of complicated. It's hard to talk about because it's not a set date. Everybody talks June 1st is the date. Not really. It's actually the top 18% of rookies. So it's weird. But I think that he's going to have to play every day I think there's other options that you can have as a pinch runner, too. He's fast, but I don't think he's the fastest guy they have in their organization. I don't think he's faster than Pedro Leon.
Yeah, I guess, and the only thing I would say with Gilbert, too, is with Dusty's history of not playing young guys, I don't know if I want to see Gilbert play one every 7 days like Yonier Diaz.
See, and that's a weird thing. That's a Van Gundy thing, too. There's coaches that are just hell-bent on just admitting. And Van Gundy admitted it. He just will never play a rookie, never play a young guy, never trust a rookie. And I think Dusty has some tendencies like that. And I do hear what you're saying that, I'd rather have him get all the seasoning he can by getting at bats every single day as opposed to sitting on the pine taking BP and getting thrown in there every few times. But I also think there's value to experiencing what true major league pitching every day, every game, whether it be a bullpen arm or a starting pitcher, and how different it is than even AAA baseball.
Yeah. This might be one of those dumb questions that I ask.
Yeah.
But
I'm gotten used to those.
How much does... like Jim Crane owning the Space Cowboys alter some of this stuff. Like he could view Drew Gilbert as like a cash cow for a couple weeks in Sugarland. Is that a dumb question?
No, I think that everything's on. Oh,
I got a yes and a no.
Yeah, I think it's a dumb question.
I know Twitch is gonna say yes. So
I think Drew Gilbert in Sugarland does sell more tickets.
Yeah.
I think Jim Crane. Same reason why we have Astros giveaways at the Space Cowboys games all the time, and or when Altuve goes to Sugarland to play a weekend series, it's completely standing room only, sold out. I think that he thinks about those things. I think that he knows that it's awesome, and he's actually going to profit from his major league players playing in Sugarland or potential. You see the picture from last night's game of Altuve in the chicken biscuit uniform.
Yep.
In the tunnel with all those fans draped over both sides. They know that that might be the only chance in their life to get that close to Jose Altuve to possibly get a picture and autograph. And it means something. And I think Crane would be, too smart of a businessman to not factor that
Thanks,
in.
Joel.
But they own the hooks, too.
Screw you, Jeremy.
They own the hooks. Like, you're getting the same bump no matter what.
I know.
But you double the bump.
No, you don't.
You get one when he plays in Corpus.
There's only one Drew Gilbert.
Right, but he plays in two different cities. So you get a bump when he plays for the Hooks.
On the same day?
No, not on the same day, but I'm saying if he plays for the Hooks and then you elevate him to Sugarland, you're going to get Sugarland
fans. You're spreading out the bump.
Like, yeah.
If he's playing on May 18th, he's going to get a bump wherever he's playing.
You're getting run. You're getting two separate cities trying to cash in.
Maybe we'll just start
I don't think it
segment.
Increases the dollar, though.
Is this a stupid question with Joe George?
My answer is going to be immediately yes. They own the hooks.
I forgot they own the hooks.
I did too, actually. That was the whole Reed Ryan divorce too, and then he went away, and then the ownership changed.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. All right, James Harden apparently wants a 4-year deal. Let's play James Harden. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
000 just texted in, Joe George, 000 did, said, dumb Joe George question.
Yeah.
You got any other doozies?
We'll see how this segment goes.
All right. James Harden or... he's seeking a 4-year deal. Do you see what
That's
James
crazy.
Harden had to say about what he's looking for in his new team? He's going to decline the option, seek a 4-year deal, wants to go somewhere where he gets like identity and offensive power and blah, 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 blah. 4 years too much. I want nothing to do with James Harden. I was already on the fence. 4 years. I'm out. And also, like, he wants autonomy offensively. Like, no, man, I'm not doing that again. Totally out on James Harden, no.
Yeah, look, I mean, even, you know, I was out. Even before we got to your concerns about length of contract and money, the money, again, was scary to me and was a complete no. But I think hopefully that's doing you another favor. It's doing you another solid because 4 years is too long. And hopefully you get Eli Wittes in the room and he starts breaking down for the Fertittas and for Rafael Stone what they don't know enough about, which is the numbers that make the most dollars and cents. Like when your other contracts are coming up, like when you're truly going to need money. And if you start pushing past the 2-year mark and you start limiting your options to do the things that you're probably going to want or need to do, that is not a good look for your organization. That is a tough spot that you're going to put your team and your organization in a few years that you shouldn't be broaching that kind of subject.
No, I'm with you. All right, James Harden or Joe George has four names for us, the four horsemen of would we rather have James Harden or whoever Joe George has listed for us.
So we're gonna
assume bucket of curveballs.
4-year contract here.
Okay, let's assume it.
James Harden or trading for Damian Lillard.
What am I giving up?
Four and a future.
I thought you were gonna say four first round picks.
For another first and one of your young players.
Now, the rumors are that Portland wants to trade three and build a team
Correct.
Around Damian Lillard, so that's the caveat here. But Harden or Lillard at that price?
Lillard's got more game. But I think it depends on who the young player is.
Uh-huh. Shingun.
I think I'd do that.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'd do that.
No offense to Alfie.
It sounds pretty offensive, Dad.
I mean, it's just like I'm not as big on Alpi as others. Like, we know that.
I
like,
think that the way today's
I'm
game
usually, it, I'm right there with you.
I think the way that today's game is played, too, I think that there's less value for a big man like Alpi, who's also very limited on defense.
I would rather trade for Damian Lillard and sign James Harden, because if your goal is to bring in a veteran point guard and that's going to, you know, lead this young core into the future, even though there's a lot of injury bug with Dame, I don't know how much that's tanking. See, versus real, so I'd rather go Dame.
I'd go Dame for that and more, though, Joe, because I don't think the injury bug was self-inflicted. I think that that was organizationally inflicted to get to where they just got to, a top three pick.
Yeah.
I think that when you look at it, Dame is still fully capable of a 50-piece on almost any given night. Dame is also not the same kind of guy that plays the same style and way that James did when James was at his best, and James is no longer at his best. I think Dame has been able to not only stomach, but has actually kind of embraced what he's had to do in Portland the last year and a half, 2 years, in trying to play and groom and work with younger players. I think that at a certain point, I would take Dame 100 times out of 100, and I also think Dame would have more value for you, for whatever you gave up, by the trade deadline, by teams that know that who they have as their max players and the situations they're in aren't good enough, and might get you more of a return than what you gave up to get him in the first place.
Yeah, I would go Lillard too. I don't really love either option, because 32-year-old point guard, how much longer does he got? But between the two, I would go Damian Lillard, even at the cost of draft capital and a young player versus the money only of James Harden. So give me Dame. It sounds like we're unanimous.
All right, Damian. Oh, no, not Damian.
No, we just did him.
Yep. James Harden or Zach LaVine.
How old is Zach LaVine?
Zach is in his 20s. He's 28, and he signed a 5-year contract, max contract, this last offseason. So he has 4 years left. There's also a 15% trade kicker. So his salary goes to like probably like 30, like 40 million.
Probably means you can get him a little cheaper, maybe, in terms of trade capital.
Yeah.
What you're giving up,
perhaps. You take on a little extra. Look, I like Zach LaVine in the way he's been able to. He wasn't a shooter coming in, he was a dunker, had a ton of athleticism. He's made himself into a heck of a player. It's a fringy max. I think by money alone, he's a max player. But if he's one of the max players on your team, I just don't know how much better you are. And that's what concerns me. Like, Lillard is a guy that I think, as you and I have talked about with Harden, puts you into the playoff conversation. I'm not sure adding Zach LaVine to this team makes you a playoff team. So that's that and his contract length concern me the most. But I think that Zach LaVine as a player and productivity-wise gives you more at this stage in his career than where James is.
Yeah, I would go – can I talk into Adam LaVine? I would go Zach LaVine here.
If you can talk royalties.
To me, it's the lesser of two evils. Like, at least Zach's younger. I think he would fit in better and, like, still give the rest of the team kind of a chance to develop around
him.
He's kind
of had to do it in Chicago. A lot of young players, with the exception of DeRozan.
Yeah, and I think it'd be cheaper than Lillard. It'd be cheaper than the trade package you had for Lillard.
Yeah, right? I don't know what Zach would cost.
Yeah, I don't really either. I would go LaVine over James Harden.
My only issue is that I feel like that Jalen Green's potential is Zach LaVine.
Oh, really?
So I don't know.
If Jalen Green's upside and ceiling is Zach LaVine, the Rockets are at best like a 6 seed.
I mean, Zach's a max player. I mean, when he's focused, he's a great scorer. But I think it's you want the peak of Zach LaVine to be Jalen Green. I don't think you get Zach's not very consistent.
Like, what is your team? If your best player is peak Zach LaVine and Jalen Green is like that, like what is your team?
Like, he's like 20.
Sure, 20 I understand that. But Kevin Martin scored 20 a night on lousy team after lousy team,
and only played three quarters.
So if Zach LaVine at his best is your best player, and Jalen Green could be that, like what is your high upside?
I think you're hoping that like Jalen Green's not your best player then.
Jabari?
Yeah, but Jabari Smith is not going to be better than Jalen Green.
Who you're drafting at 4?
Kevin Porter Jr. is not going to be better than either one of those two guys.
Joe just indirectly told us this Rockets rebuild's going nowhere.
Yeah, they're going mediocre.
Like, their ceiling's a 6 seed.
That's not good.
Right? Like, if Zach LaVine's your best player, I think your ceiling's a 6 seed.
You know what, though?
I think you're hoping that Jalen Green's, like, peak Zach LaVine all the time, who's more consistent.
But even then, even if he's peak Zach LaVine in his peak year, what is your seed line?
I've had those thoughts.
It's a 6.
In what I've seen of Jalen Green, I've had those thoughts too. Like, when you got Jalen Green, everybody said, write it in the books, you got future superstar. What I've seen of Jalen Green so far, I think they're hoping he turns out to be Zach LaVine.
Man, that, that's depressing if you're a Rockets fan, honestly.
Sorry. Like, right. It's just
that's fine. That's fine.
James Harden or trading for Pascal Siakam?
What's his money like?
Pascal's coming up soon, I believe.
So you're probably trading and then paying a decent amount. Might be even like a sign-in trade, huh? Like if you're trading for him, you probably want to get a deal.
He just signed a four-year deal as well. Sorry. He's locked in through 2025, it looks like.
And what are we giving up for Pascal? Give me Pascal. I don't even care. Like, I don't want Harden. Am I Siakam or Harden? Yeah. Give me Pascal.
No, sorry. He's only locked up through next season. I apologize. So, yeah, you're trading for him and then
Siakam.
I think Siakam's like a better version of Draymond Green. I know that's a weird comp.
But yeah, but I think he's not gonna get you a triple single. I think
no, he can go.
Yeah, he can go. He can score. He's only got 2 years left on his deal. Depending on what you have to give up, you get him. They're going to go complete rebuild. You got a guy that can make the guy, again, another guy that's worked with Ananobi and younger players and made them better. I think he could fit for 2 years. You don't limit yourself in terms of signing your own when their contracts come up.
Yeah.
And in the short term, he probably gets you close to what you want to do about making the play-in tournament and a playoff spot.
Decent like lineup configurations there, too. Gives you some
I also
options.
Think the retrade value is there. I think if Siakam's a guy that a lot of teams covet.
Sure.
That you whatever you give up, if he gets you going in the right direction for the first half of the season, I think there's going to be contenders and pretenders on the cusp calling you going, we'll give you a lot more if you want to get rid of him now.
I think if you go with a guy like that, though, your intention is that he's a building block.
I don't. I think he's a bridge. I think he's a bridge to sell tickets and jerseys and get a little excitement in the building until you truly see what your young team is.
Wouldn't a guy like Pascal Siakam cost you the fourth pick?
Probably.
So
probably.
I don't know how much more.
I think Lillard would actually command more for what he's done, even though he's older than Siakam.
Yeah.
But I think Siakam, for what you need him to do, would be perfect. I think Siakam would be the perfect guy to trade for number three.
Yeah, I just if you're moving, if you're
Siakam
making one
with
of these,
Dame Lillard, nice. Makes them a really good team.
That would be really interesting. That would be really interesting, actually. Last one I got here. I tried to find someone I could like really compare to James Harden of which
strip
of
clubs
the two evils do you want?
Vegas.
And
strips?
So I tried to find a highly inefficient shooter. Who is often not liked by his teammates.
I'm not going to say Russell Westbrook.
Joel Blank.
Blames everyone else around
him.
I
couldn't help myself.
Fires coaches religiously. James Harden or Trae Young?
Ooh.
Because I am not a Trae Young guy, and I'm not a James Harden guy. So like, I don't even know my
answer
to
this.
I know my answer.
Just younger.
I think I'm going
willing,
Harden.
I'm going Trae Young.
Me too.
I'm going Trae Young because he's younger.
How much younger?
Yeah, he's younger, and he's efficient because, he scores, but he also passes. I think he'll mature. I think under Udoka, unlike the coaches he's had, he's going to have someone that's not going to let him get away with a lot of the BS. I think that's easy for me. I think Trae Young in a heartbeat.
It feels like he's just so Harden-ish where it's like everything's fine and dandy for a year and a half. Nate McMillan comes in. They make a great playoff run after firing a coach halfway through the season. And McMillan lasts, what, another season?
No, you very well might be right. Like, I'm not denying that at all. But you're getting a guy who's 10 years younger. He's the 10-year younger version of that with a young core, young nucleus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Trae Young over Harden. 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, Trae Young, I think, will
and
get moved.
And he still has
this.
Time to mature.
He will get moved this
offseason.
That's off
what I'm
season.
Saying.
Like, you have the chance to potentially
Ooh, Joe,
mature.
I might take that bet.
A lot of people think he's going to end up in Miami this offseason.
For what? Kyle Lowry and a bag of balls?
Why would
picks,
Miami do
Tyler
that,
Tyler Hero.
Like, Miami's
It all depends on how far they go.
Team.
I don't think Miami's doing anything if they beat the Celtics.
I don't like they were an 8 seed for a reason. I know they're playing great.
But
they won
had injuries
last night.
All year.
I know, but like it's just
if they win at all, they're not blowing the team
no,
up.
No, it's
for
like
Trae Young.
It's the Jaylen Brown conversation just flipped to a different team. Whoever wins that series is not moving either.
Ooh, I think it would take them winning it all. Like if they got swept in the finals, I think they're open to it.
Who, Boston or Miami?
Miami. If Miami beats Boston and gets swept in the finals, I think they'd be open to like a Trae Young risk.
I think it's a lot
depends
also,
on what you had to give up.
Sure.
I think that they want to keep
Jimmy.
Butler and they want to keep Bam.
Yeah, yeah. But like Hero, everything else, Trae Young, knowing that you just got swept in the finals. Like if they win the finals,
see,
they're
not
blowing
I'll tell you
up.
This. From a Trae Young perspective, the best thing that could happen to his career is playing with Jimmy Butler because Jimmy's not going to take any of his crap. And it doesn't need a coach or anybody else to guide him.
It's combustible.
Yeah,
though.
Jimmy Butler's going to drop a hammer on
you
him.
You want to talk a player that like I wish they would have got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs because maybe he would have demanded a trade is Jimmy Buckets. Like Jimmy Butler here would have been awesome.
Got his stock. as just an overall player. Every playoffs goes up, no matter what he does in the regular season. It's impressive what he does.
Makes me sad.
713.
Oh, that's right. He was once in a Bulls uniform, wasn't he? Mm. How'd that work out?
They wouldn't pay him like for like 4 years, $44 million. He walked.
Wow, that's
Jimmy
not bad
also
at all.
Kind of called Carl Anthony Towns what Carl Anthony Towns has turned out
you know
to
what?
Be.
I almost
he called him a cat.
Called him a lot worse than that.
I almost put cat on this list. James Harden or Carl Anthony Towns?
Cat.
No.
Yes.
No way.
God, what? He's locked down for a lot of money for a lot of years, isn't
Carl
he?
James Harden, 4 years at the max or cat?
James
Harden. How many Towns got left?
I think he's up soon, actually.
I really hate his game.
I do, too.
He's another seven-footer that wants to shoot threes.
Yeah, I'm not a Carl Anthony Towns guy. It's like the one for sure James Harden
like
for me.
He got the
I
equipment
like
manager fired. Dude is like, yeah, I'm not in on Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. These jerks want me to talk about these Kelvin Sampson rumors. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, there's no jerks here. There's just people getting results. It's the people at Apollo Men's Health. They take care of people on a daily basis for both men and women. It starts with the fact that they can get you more energy in your life on a daily basis by the fact that they have everything from B12 shots like I get every week to the fact that you can go to full-blown hormone therapy. Whether you get it administered at the clinic weekly, you can learn how to do it yourself at home, or you can get cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy where you only have to go in once every 6 months, but you reap the benefits of more energy on a daily basis. If you want to lose weight, they have an FDA-approved semi-glutide that can actually help you lose 6 pounds, up to 6 pounds in a week. You start talking about what that means per month, and you start saying, oh my goodness, whether I'm on a weight loss program or not, I can lose weight without going to the gym. And it's a full possibility when you go to Apollo Men's Health. Check out all the services they offer by going to apollomh.com. If there's some services you think can help you, set up a first appointment. When you do, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, get a free B12 shot like I get. Or you can get a full body composition analysis on your first official visit. They're going to take care of you every step of the way, but they're going to ask you tough questions. They want to know what your goals are, where you're struggling, and what's going on. If you tell them and you're honest, they're going to put you on a program that works. They're going to get you the results that you need. They're good people doing great things on a daily basis. Go see my friends at Apollo Men's Health.
Take your golf to a new level of fun with Spark Golf. Spark Golf is a weekly 9-hole social golf league with over a dozen courses hosting it around Greater Houston. It's casual fun for players of all skill levels. Join for free at spark.golf.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll get to the Kelvin rumors in just a bit. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line real quick, though. Kyle has a question about Mauricio Dubon. Kyle, what's up? You're in the Hive.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Great.
Yeah, man, curious, you know, when Jose Altuve gets back and gets his feet wet, there's not going to be much for Dubon every day. And so why not, while his bat's hot, trade him, get you a starting pitcher, or starting rotation round banged up. Kind of want to see where your heads were at with that.
Appreciate it, Kyle. I think you could do that if you wanted to, if you're the Astros. You're not getting to get a starting pitcher who's capable of really cracking the playoff rotation, but you can get an upgrade over Brandon Belak if you really, really wanted to. But best case scenario, and for this team, quite honestly, to be like a champion, whatever starting pitcher you're getting from Mauricio Dubon is not going to help you a ton in the postseason if you have championship aspirations. I don't think what you get in return for Mauricio Dubon would outweigh the value that he's going to produce, even as a super utility guy.
That's where I'm at. Like, you have a luxury right now you didn't expect to have, which is a utility man that can actually hit, that you feel comfortable wherever you put him in a lineup, if he's filling in or giving a guy a day off, or God forbid you have an injury, that you have to have him soak up a couple of weeks. You give up that luxury, and at what cost? What are you getting in return that could be worth more to you? Because I think the misconception out there, just because of the start that he's had, is that general managers across the league are going to look at just that and not the body of his work and say, over his whole career, and say, this is a guy I'm going to give you a number three starter for, or I'm going to give you someone that's more impactful than, you know, might otherwise if you were trading him last year. I just don't think the general managers are going to see that way. I think you're a little bit too grandiose drinking the orange Kool-Aid to think that because of the start that he's had to this season, that he's going to bring you like a three quality start or like a quality starting pitcher, even a 4-5. I just don't think it's going to happen.
No. And like the harsh reality, like Dubon's been great. Like Dubon's been really good. He's played himself into being somebody that the city wanted to get rid of to now he's a fan favorite. He's going to be a super utility player for this team. Corey Lee has more trade value than Mauricio Dubon. It's the truth. Like Drew Gilbert has more trade value
higher
than Mauricio
ceiling.
Dubon.
Yeah.
Like they're not Mauricio Dubon's like in his late 20s.
He's a super utility guy.
Yeah. He's not going to be a star. Like he's a really good player to have on a really good team. Like if this guy was at Oakland, we'd never hear from Mauricio Dubon. Like
he is a younger Aledmys Diaz and he has maximized where he's going to be in major league lineups. On a bad team, he might be a fringe starter.
He'd probably be a starter.
Yeah, but like middle of the road teams and better, he is who he's going to be. I think when you take a Corey Lee, he could be your starting catcher for the next 3 to 5 years, and whether he's a star or not doesn't matter. He could be a stalwart starting catcher in the major leagues that someone finds interest in based on his age and the possible higher ceiling. So I think you're right. Lee has a lot more trade value than a Dubon, no matter what Dubon's doing this season.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN. So Woj yesterday tweeted out that Kelvin Sampson has interviewed with the Milwaukee Bucks about their head coaching vacancy. Kelvin Sampson also texted Mark Berman, Joseph Duarte, and he told this to the HRR Review just a moment ago. I'm really excited about coaching the Big 12 going forward. I think we'll represent our university well. Obviously, me being a Cougar and the voice of Houston Cougar basketball, I don't want Kelvin Sampson ever leave, selfishly, because I love Kelvin Sampson. I think he's the best college basketball coach in the country. So want him here forever. I want this to be his last stop. He said it's going to be his last stop. If for some reason he wanted to, like, he got a wild hair and wanted to coach in the NBA because it's like a lifelong dream, it's an aspiration that he had, who am I to be upset with Kelvin Sampson? Like, he deserves to do basically whatever he deserves to do because I think he's one of the best college basketball coaches, if not the best college basketball coach in the country. I selfishly want him forever. If he were to leave, and I really don't think he's going to, I would text him and congratulate him.
It's a business. At the end of the day, no matter what kind of relationship that you have across the board and even to some degree, but obviously unless you're Mike Krzyzewski or you're in a situation like Bill Self where you realize you can write your own ticket, the athletic director might even have an opinion that goes against it, but you can probably go to the chancellor or anywhere you need to go to get what you need, and you're never going to have a problem. But no matter how good the situation is for the rest of the coaches in the country, it's still a business. And so maybe everybody believes what he said, what Jeremy just echoed that he had said previously, and says he's never going anywhere and we're winning, so why do we have to do anything? Well, if Kelvin, who's had a relationship in Milwaukee, who was there and as an assistant coach, who knows a lot of people in the city and the organization, even if he hasn't, if it's just he hasn't caught up with them in a while, and they say, hey, we want to pick your brain. We want you to come in. We want you to interview for the head coaching job. But along the way, we also want you to give us your two cents on what we could be doing better, what you know or what you've seen or what you've heard, and we want to talk to you. At the same time, if you're Kelvin Sampson, you go, you know what? I'd be willing to fly in and talk to you guys just to kind of catch up and play golf, but if you're flying me in and we're going to talk and the media and everybody's going to know that I'm talking to you, if it lights a fire under my university's rear end too to say, hey, you know what? Let's not just sit and be comfortable with a guy that's been doing great things for us. Let's make sure that he's extremely happy and he truly isn't going anywhere. And if it means we got to kick him another extra $500,000 a year or do what we got to do and he's happy, let's do that because it's worth it to us.
Yeah, could just be like renovations, could be updates on top of what you're talking about as well. You know, like that's
take
how the
care
games
of my
work.
Staff.
And I have no idea that's what's happening, but it wouldn't be the first time
that's how that gets
happened.
Done.
Right. It wouldn't be the first time. I mean, he interviewed for the Orlando job, I think the last time that he got his extension done. But look, I selfishly, because I'm a Cougar, want him to be at the University of Houston as long as possible. But if he said that it's my dream to coach in the NBA and left tomorrow, I would congratulate him. That said, he has told Berman, he's told Duarte, he told somebody a podcast today that he looks forward to coaching in the Big 12 next year.
I think he's got, you know what, some people don't like to have those, no matter how good you've done and how much you've earned the money, they don't like to have those conversations because they don't want to go and have a potential confrontation where they have to try and sell themselves more so than just the performance that they've given.
Mm-hmm.
And so by doing what he did, minding his own P's and Q's, but hey, a team wants to talk to me, I'll go on that interview. I don't have to stir up any bad blood or ill will in a conversation going to my boss saying I deserve a raise or look like I'm money grubbing. And at the same time, message sent.
Yeah. I'm also bullish on the future of Kellen Sampson. So Like, that, throw that.
Well, and I was going to say the other factor is, if for Kelvin, it's not just Kelvin getting an opportunity to coach in Milwaukee versus staying at the University of Houston. It's continuing it to be a family affair between his daughter being director of, what, basketball operations, and his son, who's the heir apparent to his job and his assistant coach, that they can spend time every single day together. There's a value to all of that that I don't think that, you know, he's willing to just step away from if someone offers him a little more money.
Yeah, I think both things can be true, like interviewing Milwaukee, staying at Houston. 713-780-3776. Everybody's favorite segment, Bad Take Boulevard. Who made the list this week? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something that's never a bad take. In fact, it's a great take. If there's a boulevard for great takes, well, HR&P belongs on that. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holly. He used to protect Heisman Trophy winners like Andre Ware. Now he wants to protect you and your business. Also, HR&P partnering with the one of the greatest Houston Cougars of all time, Case Keenum, which we might be hearing some of him here pretty soon. Chris Fisher's over there. Great people at HR&P. Members of the Cougar 100 for the 8th year in a row. You've seen HR&P signage everywhere. But let's get down to the brass tacks of this. If you're a business owner, let HR&P help you. They can help in a variety of different areas. HR compliance, if you need help with that, HR&P's got you. Benefits administration, they got you there. Payroll, they can help you there. Onboarding, they can help with that as well. So if you want to take one stressor out of your life or all of these stressors out of your life, HR&P is who you need to know. There's no boxes with HR&P. Nothing cookie cutter. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, how unique the job. HR&P completely customizes a plan for you. You're not shopping. They're customizing for you and what you need. You have a problem. You have an issue. A little bit off your plate. HR&P will find a way to help. Technology meets service at HR&P. Unique to that space, the human resources space. They have the best tech. You'll love that, but you'll love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to a stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you. They know your business needs. I'm an employee of an employer who uses Gal Media. When I have HR questions, I email them real quick. They always give me a quick answer that's very easy to understand. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525, and let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.